it's the same like worship, meaning our worship, our expression. May the blessing, may the peace, may the, oh man, may, when Paul spoke, I think there was excitement, and Paul saw this in his mind, he saw this in his spiritual mind, this blessing that God predestined for his children, for us. And I want to say here, look away from yourself. Let us look away from what I can do. Sometimes, yes, the Bible says we must lay the hand on the sick and they will recover. We must pray for people. You know, and sometimes that I discovered, I pray for the person, and sometimes I feel, but I wonder if that person ever got healed. And so it actually robs me from laying my hand on another person. And it actually says to me that it's not about God anymore. It's about, I want to feel good. If a person come back, if somebody come back and they say to me, little Paul. actually, my name means little, but I'm not so little. But when a person comes back and he says, Paul, I've been healed. How does it make you feel? Make me feel, wow, wonderful, lekker. But it's actual fact, flesh, it's for myself. It's not God. It's not the love of God that compels me to lay my hand on that person. When Jesus, let me go back a little bit. When Jesus laid his hand on people, some of the people that Jesus laid his hand upon, for instance, those crazy guys there in the that were full of the demons. I mean, those guys looked weird. And here Jesus come, and even the rest of the people say here in Worcester, they ran away from these guys, because those guys, they used to stay there in the graveyards, far from the community. But Jesus, with what he knew, what he's got in his heart, in his mind, in his life, knowing who he is. I like saying that Jesus had never a problem when the Pharisees and those clever guys tell him that, you say you're the Son of God, and they actually accuse him for saying he's the Son of God. But Jesus didn't say, no, one day, that I'm not the Son of God. You say now, because you say now that I'm the Son of God, well, I'm not the Son of God. No. He keep on saying, I am the Son of God. I know where I'm coming from, and I know where I'm going. He says in John. And that is what he intended for us as his people. Look away from yourself. Look out where Jesus. Sometimes we forget where we're coming from. We're growing so, we're getting so spiritual, let me say that. We're getting so spiritual. We're getting so swollen up in our minds, in our hearts, that we tend to forget where we come from. You know, I haven't got a testimony of being a gangster, being drunk, and being that and that and that. But some of you have. And we tend to forget where we're coming from. And we used to say that, sing that song when we were small. Yes, Jesus loves me. You know that song? That is what he's talking about there. To a place of victory. God wants us to go to a place of victory. God chose you and I from beginning. Let me say that again. God chose you and I from the beginning, for himself and for each other. God didn't choose you and me Jimmy Swaggart used to sing that song, "He chose me." I don't know why he chose me, but he chose me. And God chose you and me. Predestined. He chose us to be a blessing to the world. God chose you. He handpicked you. It says, He handpicked you. He put His finger there on you and me. He put His finger and He says, "Yes, I want you." If you're here for the first time, He handpicked you. God doesn't make mistakes. God's that. There's one word, Afrikaans, it says per toeval. What's the English? By chance. Nothing in the world. There's no such a word as by chance in the Bible. Everything, if you hear tonight, it's God's doing that you are here. To hear that God loves you. To hear that the answer out is Jesus. There's nothing in the world that happens by chance. You're here because God wanted you to be here tonight. And He's got a plan. He's got a destiny. He's got something on His heart for you. If you open your ears, open your heart and listen. Trust God. Our own fears. Our own fears steal the place of our victory and our joy. It steals that what God intended for us. Our fears. Our not being, coming to that place of being satisfied. It steals. And our fears, oh man, there's so many things, fears. I'm coming later to all that those fears that steals that place where God wants us to be. That place of victory, that place of joy. And you know something that the devil, he loves doing. In anything that he tries, in anything that he does, he, with us as God's children, He's wanting to steal that joy. If He can take away your exuberance, your joy, your excitement, then He know He can toy around with you. Ask me. I know what I'm talking about. For not having that constant joy, constant peace in our hearts. John 4 verse 18. Is it there, Wani? You're still there, the first light. I'm going, man. 1 John 4 verse 18. It says, "This is not a fear in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love." You know, when I grew up, my father is a very, he's a tall man. But when I grew up, my father, not at that time knowing Jesus, he was a little bit rough, you know. Like my surname is Wildeman. And my father was he was rough, you know. And I'm his son, but as I grew older and as I experienced different things as I grew up as a little boy, it didn't bring me to a place of love with my father. Yes, I knew he's my father, but I was so afraid of him, of having a conversation with him. In actual fact, my first conversation with, real conversation with my father was, I think, day or two after my marriage. Real conversation where he speak to me, man to man. And I loved that. I knew that day. This is what I desired, to have this conversation with my father. But, you know, where John is speaking here about that fear. That fear that I have here, there, wasn't a fear of love, because I love my father. But it was a fear of that I don't know. I haven't got a name for it right now. But it wasn't this is why John says here, this fear, if we have this love of God in your heart, the perfect love for God drives out all fear. You know, when I grew up as in the Pentecostal church, you know, you pray so much that you don't fear scholars, you don't fear them, because I knew I walked with that, knowing who I am. Let me tell you, one night I walked from home, from church home, and it was a little bit late, and two guys approached me, and one came to me with a knife, holding the knife here on my throat. He says, "Tonight is your last night." And I say to him, "Do you know who you're talking to? I'm a son of God." And you know, he got such a crick, he just disappeared. The other time was that I'm just a little bit, let me just testify about this. The other one was when I visit her one evening there in Cape Town. We were still having the perfect love dries out all fear. You know, when I was walking from her sister's house, the other side is Valhalla Park. You know, Valhalla Park is where all the squallies and those times they haven't had guns yet. They walked with the long knives and sharp stuff. And I was walking, it was just after 9. Just one thing, you know, if you kayer show lekker, you know, you say, let me just 5 minutes. Let me just, 5 minutes became an hour, you know, David, and so forth. And I was just knowing that the second last train, 9 o'clock, I want to catch that train back to Mitchell's Plain. And as I walked from her, and I walked over this nice quiet area, and I walked over the road, two guys approached me, the one that side, and the one came straight to me. And I knew this is business. I knew as he came to me, as it was like where Elmer is sitting, I saw this long, what they call it? Panga, yeah. Panga here. And he says, "Your money." And you know, I'm not afraid of a scully. I don't run away. And he came to me, and as he came to me, and I walked straight to him, and I stretched my hand out and said, "In the name of Jesus." You know, I don't know what happened, but he says, "Excuse me, brother." And the other one didn't even bother, he just ran off there. The perfect love cast out all fear. And the love that I have for my father was actual fact that last part. I was too afraid of that punishment. And you know, as Christians, as children of God, and young Christians as well, especially, you have that this in your mind that God is just going to come down on you. But it's not that kind of love. God is out to love you. He's not out to punish you. He's not out to hits you over the head every time when you, he's out to love you. His perfect love cast out all fear. Now let me go further here. The second part. One is there. Is it there? Untapped potential. Is it there? Okay. Yeah. Untapped potential. You know, let me go also back to the story of Moses. And it's also coming to what God has placed in us. God called Moses. He saw the burning bush. And now God is speaking to him. And God is, I mean, if God must come to me like that, I so desire this this encounter like Moses had here with God, with the fire, with the bush. And God is speaking to him from the bush. God is calling him. God is saying to him all this. And in one of the verses, Moses, God is speaking to him, and God is saying to him, listen, Moses, I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. I want them to come worship me here, and at this place where you are now. I want you to come, let them to come worship me here. And God was dealing with Moses. God giving him the instructions, giving him the plan, like he gives to each and every one of us. Like we read from the beginning in Ephesians. God, you know what God has placed on your heart. You know what God has said you must do. In this congregation or wherever you are, you know that. You know that the zeal, you know the fire, you know the passion. You know the testimony from the beginning when you were saved, when you were reading the Bible day out and day. This morning, I like what Francis said. We must leave the rest of the stuff and reading the Bible more. Praise God for that. I liked when I was a young Christian. I liked going to with my mother to prayer meetings, and I used to, when I come from the prayer meeting, I used to read the Bible to her. And I sit in the kitchen. We had a big kitchen, almost like, not so big, but it was nice and big. And I used to sit around the table as she preparing the food, and I would read scriptures to her, and she loved it. And so we must have, and here God is giving that to instructions to Moses. And I like, and also liked here this potential, because it's in each and every one of us. When God put place that, what he breathed there was, man, everything, the Creator God, who he is, what he has within him, he breathed into Adam. That's how Adam could name all the trees, everything that was, because it came from that wisdom that God has placed within him. And we have that wisdom. We have it. And we just need to tap into God. We just need to tap into him. Like Moses, when he understood the calling, when he understood what God wanted him to do, he walked out there. Yes, he did all that miracles and stuff, but the Bible says Moses was the most humbled man on the earth. Wonderful. And Moses led the people of God with that potential, with that that God has put inside of him. God has put in you so much, so much. And you can change one person. One of you can change with the power of God, with Jesus says, the power that raised me from the dead, he said to his disciples, are inside of you, inside of us. Just let it think, sink in a little bit. Let us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead are inside in each and every one of us. It's in us. It's in us. Oh, man. Whoosh. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let me go. Combating our fears. Exodus. Also with Moses. But I want to mention just a little bit, a few things that the devil is coming to us at times. And he says to us, number one, he says, is there anyone like me? Is there anyone in the world? He comes to you and you think, you sit there and you think by yourself and you're not tapped into God and you're not really hooked to him, you're not really entwined with him. Then this question come up in your heart. Is there anyone like me? And the devil toy around with your mind, with your heart. And it becomes part of you. And you doubt the calling. You doubt what God has put inside of you. You're starting to doubt. The next one, will I be accepted? If I go out and bring this message of hope, this message of change, will I be accepted in the world? Will people accept what I bring to them? This message of hope, this message of change, this destiny that God has placed within us, will people accept me? Will they accept that message? Is there any hope for me? Maybe you sit here for the first time or with your situation and you think by yourself, is there any hope for me? God says, yes, there is. Can I do? Does God really? Or no? Can I really? Let me say. Does God really trust me with what he has placed inside of me? And the enemy comes from time to time to us. And we start doubting this calling. We start doubting what Paul is speaking here about our destiny, about who we are in God, our place. And you know, the wonderful thing about this is God, he's so big. He's so huge. He could have changed the world just like that by himself. But he chose us to work with him. Co-workers with him, Paul says. I'm coming to that later. Yeah. Scripture, like Francis this morning, by fourth point, he says, Scripture must be our weapon. If we don't know Scripture, if we don't know what the Word says, who we are, then the devil will toy around with us like a football ball. He will kick you from place to place if you don't know Scripture, if you don't know who you are. Romans 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation. The devil comes with that condemnation. If you go out there, you're so full of pivá. Who says you must do this? Who say you must do that? You keep yourself, Mr. Man. But you know, you're going with the fear of God. You know you're going with the love of God inside of you. And you walk out there and you do what God has called you to do. Man, like, we don't need a pastor, what you call it. I like them. Ray McCauley's and these guys and what they do. I like the pastor, what you call it? This one in Cape Town? Pastor Chris. Wonderful. But God, I love to say, God can do that same thing through us, through you and me. And he wants to. But he just need, Bible says somewhere in Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. And that fruit of the land is the promises. Is this what God has intended for us to walk into? And to do. Romans 8 verse 11. His spirit is inside of us, gives life to us. I'm just taking. You can take that. The whole scripture for yourself. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Let me the last one. It says that we are God's workmanship. But Paul says here that, like I said previously, God is so big, but He wants to, He desires to allow us to have part in this changing the world, changing people's minds, people's hearts towards Him. You know what Jesus actually did when he died, and when the word there when we came to know Jesus. Jesus actually come and He put our hands in the hands of the Father, and he not adopted. What's the other one? I'm looking for other one. Okay, never mind. But He placed us into God's hands. And that's why God trusts you and me with what He plans, with what He had on His mind for you. He trusts you. He trusts you. Because He knows what He's placed in you. Okay. My fourth point there. I like to call this, like the devil, he sent that one third of the angels who fall, the demons. He sat there and he called them together and he said, "Listen here, if you do these things that I'm going to mention here, if you do these things among the believers, among the children of God, you will get them away from their destiny." Let me go to number one. He said to them, keep them away from reading the Bible. Keep the Christians, keep the children of God away from reading the Bible. Number two, it says, keep them away from praying. Praying for their families. Praying for one another. I like to say here, keep them from forming healthy family relationships. If you just keep them away from that, you will steal their joy. You will steal them away from God. Number four, keep husbands and wives from having that intimacy, from having sexual intercourse. The devil can come in there, he can destroy marriages, just like that. And actual fact, I want to put in here, in number one, I want to say, let them read any other book, magazines, but the Bible. Keep children away from obeying their parents. He will seal them. He will keep them away from that what God wants for them. I just want to conclude with this. We need to, with the word of God within us as our weapon, as our force, as what we have inside of us, we need to declare. You know, the other day, I haven't got a lot of scriptures there, but the other day, as I walked out of my gate, it just suddenly come to me that kings doesn't. They announce stuff, né? They say that must happen, and it happened. And they declare, they decree, and God wants us as children of God to come to that place of decreeing scripture, decreeing the word, decreeing our freedom, decreeing our destiny, decreeing what God has in store for us, and taking back that place in God, what God has for us as his children. Psalm 34 verse 4 and 9. I haven't got it, but it speaks about again that knowing who God is. Give me a Bible, please, if you have it. I will exalt thee, God, at all times. I will praise thee. I will praise thee, and your praise will always be on my lips. You know, God's praises. You know, when you don't know who you are in Christ, when you don't know this destiny, this what God intended, you can't praise God. You can't worship from your heart. And God wants us. God desires worship from us. And David says here, your praises, I will exalt thee, God, all times. Don't let the enemy steal our joy. Don't let this enemy steal our freedom in who we are in God. You can read that scripture. It's a wonderful scripture. You can read it for yourself. Thank you. And that is actually what I want to just bring to us tonight. Let us come to that place where we take back. Come to that place where we take back our destiny in God and get excited about what God has placed within us. And almost as if I saw the other day, the other day when I was standing there, you know, sometimes God gives you words and you know, and you think by yourself, oh, this must be for the church. This must be for the next person. And as I meditate on what I experience in my heart, I just hear God says, no, this is for you. But I just experience God is saying, I saw this massive rock and I was standing this side of the rock, and I thought maybe it's a church, but as I was thinking about it, God is saying, yes, you are standing, you are close to me, but you're not on the rock. You're not on the rock. You experience me because you're close to me, but you're not on the rock. And that is, as I stood there, and I just realized, and I just think by myself, sometimes we can fake, so many times, we can fake our Christianity. We can fake our testimony or who we are. But when you're vulnerable before God, and God puts his finger and he says, my son, you're not at the place where I want you to be. I want you close. I want you here. I want you to be firm, and that the devil can't play around with you. And so tonight, God wants to say to each and every one of us, if you fear, that fear is not perfect. But God's love, who he is, drives out that fear. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are.